volunteers come in. So it's people that say, you know what, that happened to my parent, or I'm afraid that's going to be me someday. I want to help make sure this program continues.
There's a network of help out there for pet owners, but it's so important that people plan early. Stelton Buning has seen many instances where owners have entrusted family members or friends with pets, but it doesn't go as planned.
The problem is oftentimes that doesn't work. And either the family can't because of a living situation, won't, because unfortunately, in some cases, they never really wanted the dog to begin with, but they felt that they should say, yes, I will. And oftentimes, these dogs do eventually end up in a shelter and are often euthanized.
Just like planning for retirement and aging, it's important to plan for the welfare of your pet. One aspect of this is creating a pet trust that ensures their protection and care if something happens to you.
With a pet trust program, they can create a pet trust. It is a legal document that is legally binding. It has a trustee and it has to be followed. And they can stipulate the exact wishes down to, this is what I want my dog to eat. This is the type of medical care I want for my dog. This is the kind of lifestyle I want them to live.
Top Dog Foundation helps owners arrange pet trusts, so this scenario never happens to the pets they love.
I had a gentleman in northern Minnesota who had three rescue dogs, and they were absolutely the loves of his life. One of them was a therapy dog, and he used to visit people in hospitals and children, and he passed away. Two of the dogs got adopted. Sylvie did not. She was beautiful. She was a collie shepherd mix. And I got a call from a contact in northern Minnesota, and she said, Jean, can you guys help? Because we can't find a place for Sylvie, and we're fearful that she'll be euthanized. And I said, absolutely, we'll take her. So she said, by the way, her daughter, this gentleman's daughter, is here right now taking care of some things.
But when Stelton Buning asked the daughter if she could help with transportation, she got an unexpected answer.
I contacted her, and she said, no. She said, my car is full of things from his house. There's no room for Sylvie. And I thought to myself, oh, this gentleman would be heartbroken to know that his daughter was more concerned about a couple of lamps than about Sylvie, who was the love of his life. It really made me think of, that's why people need to plan. That's why people need a pet trust. That's why they need to have it in writing. This is what I want to have for my dog.
To get more information on pet trusts or to get involved in the efforts of Top Dog Foundation, visit topdogfoundation.org. To find out more about Jean Stelton Buning and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. The segment originally aired in December 2019 and was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, how a small-town middle school librarian became the face of the fight against book banning in America, when Viewpoints returns.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
When middle school librarian Amanda Jones opened her email on August 14, 2022, her hands started to shake and she felt short of breath. She had just received a message from a stranger that accused her of being a pedophile and a groomer. It concluded with a threat, quote, "You can't hide, we know where you work and live. Click, click, see you soon." What had Jones done to prompt such language? She had spoken against book banning at a local public library board meeting in Livingston Parish, Louisiana. On the agenda that night was a discussion around banning books with LGBTQ content and prohibiting signage for things like Black History Month and Pride Month. As a librarian herself, Jones was concerned and felt the need to speak up.
I talked about the detriments of book censorship, and I never named a single book. I just was speaking in generalities. And that's all I did. And close to 30 other people also spoke at that same meeting and said pretty much the same thing I did, some of them a lot more heated and with a lot more passion.
In her speech, Jones explained that libraries have diverse collections with resources from many points of view. She told the audience that there was a system in place for parents to challenge books they felt were inappropriate, but that a library's mission is to provide access to information for all users. Even though Jones lives in what she describes as a conservative Louisiana community, she was shocked and heartbroken by what happened next. She's since filed 3 police reports, a defamation lawsuit, and received many death threats. Many of her neighbors have turned on her. Some friends grew distant. She says even her parents couldn't understand her point of view.
And I've been in a lot of therapy since then to try to process, you know, but I'm so used to the hate at this point. It hasn't stopped. It started in July of 2022 and it's still ongoing. It's constant. So I'm used to it now.
Jones writes about her experiences in her book, That Librarian, The Fight Against Book Banning in America. Before becoming a school librarian a decade ago, she taught English language arts to 7th and 8th graders. Jones has seen firsthand the positive impact books can have on students' lives.
I've had multiple students that are now adults who have contacted me to say, "I remember I read this book in high school or in college, and I was at the brink. I thought about taking my own life, but I read this book and I stayed another day, and I read another one and I read another one. And even though you didn't recommend that book to me, I developed my love of reading because you taught me in 7th grade and you taught me the importance of books and literature."
Jones says comments like these are especially true for people who identify as LGBTQ, those who have been ostracized by their own communities or their own families and who turn to books for solace.
As a school librarian, I want to make sure I provide a safe place and a safe spot for every student in my school. The Human Rights Coalition in 2023 published a study that said, you know, it was a very large amount of students feel unsafe at school, but 9 out of 10 said they feel the safest in the school library. And to me, that's very important. And it goes to not only the attitudes and the direction and the way a school librarian treats kids, but also the resources that are provided. But again, I'll reiterate, we don't provide resources that are not age relevant to our students. So I would not have books that are sexually explicit in my school library that is 9, 10, and 11 year olds. A high school might be different though. In Louisiana, you can get married at the age of 16, but you can't read about sex. It's a little hypocritical.
According to the American Library Association, in the first half of this year, there were more than 400 attempts to censor library materials and services, with more than 1,000 unique titles being challenged across dozens of states. As books about LGBTQ issues, sexual health, and race have been targeted for removal, libraries have been thrust into the spotlight. So far this year, Louisiana legislators have introduced multiple bills that could negatively impact librarians. One of them, HB 777, would have criminalized librarians for using public funds to attend American Library Association conferences.
What I'm seeing is apathy from people. People either are apathetic or they're not paying attention, or, you know, the people not paying attention don't need the books or resources because they tend to have money. But it's going to affect the most vulnerable in our communities, the people who rely on the public library for internet and story times and resources. And if people don't start paying attention, we're going to see the destruction of our libraries and schools.
Even though some of these proposed laws have been killed, Jones says the ripple effect will last decades through soft censorship. According to the American Library Association, soft censorship is when books are purchased by libraries, but then placed in restricted areas, hidden, or kept off limits. Jones says that because of harassment, librarians are scared to even order books that could be deemed even remotely controversial.
My friend Tom, who is the past president of, Tom Bobert, past president of the Missouri Association of School Librarians, he's in a lawsuit right now. He joined with the ACLU to sue Missouri because they'll criminalize librarians if books have sexual content. But what people are equating sexual content could be a handhold or a kiss, but because it's a member, you know, two girls or two, they're saying that's inappropriate. And so people are scared to buy books like Laurie Hall Sanderson's Speak or Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye because they don't want to be put in jail.
Since that initial board meeting 2 years ago, Jones says she has become more introverted. She has had security cameras installed and has started carrying a taser. She says she often gets her groceries delivered and chooses the pharmacy drive-through option to avoid negative interactions. Although she was born and raised in a politically conservative community, Jones explains it is important to her to protect access to books that discuss race or LGBTQ themes.
My parents are ultra-right, and my parents can't wrap their heads around some things that I say and do. And I say, you raised me to be this way because you raised me Southern Baptist Republican. You raised me to believe that God is love. We should love thy neighbor as thyself. We should be good Samaritans. We should champion the underdog, and we should stick up for the First Amendment.
Last year, in recognition of her work, the American Library Association awarded Jones with the Paul Howard Award for Courage. While she says she hasn't received a death threat in several months, Jones still receives plenty of hate mail. Despite it all, she claims that all the negativity makes her want to fight against censorship even more. You can read the full account of Jones's experiences in her book, That Librarian, The Fight Against Book Banning in America, available now online and wherever books are sold. You can learn more about Amanda Jones as well as all of our past guests by visiting our website at viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our studio engineer is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Order for Jennifer C.
Is this my double shot, double cream, double froth, double pump, double whip, double sleeve?
Yeah. Can you handle that much caffeine?
Did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Oh, really? That's great.
Seriously, did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Yeah, you just said that.
Did you say I just said that?
Yeah, I'm cutting you off.
I can't have any more? Why not?
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. As medical researchers continue to find ways to improve cancer diagnosis and patient outcomes, experts say artificial intelligence may play an important role. According to the latest annual report from the American Association for Cancer Research, cancer death rates in the U.S. have dropped by about 33%. But the disease is also becoming more common and increasingly affecting young people. It is estimated that more than 2 million people in the U.S. will be diagnosed with new cases of cancer this year alone. Researchers are now looking to AI to help improve the speed, accuracy, and reliability of cancer screening and detection. For example, the Food and Drug Administration has approved the use of AI-powered software designed to detect cancer in medical images like mammograms. AI also can sift through large data sets and identify patterns, which could save researchers time and effort while also providing insights into how cancer behaves, how it spreads, and potential treatments. Currently, there are a variety of predictive, prognostic, and diagnostic AI tools available for healthcare providers, but how those tools are used varies widely on who is using them. As the technology continues to evolve, some researchers are beginning to set guidelines for how to use AI responsibly to ensure that results are accurate and patients are protected. For now, we'll have to wait and see how artificial intelligence could improve health outcomes for cancer patients. And that's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Robert Zemeckis is one of the most iconic directors of all time, with titles like Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, Castaway, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit under his name. Zemeckis has carved out a legacy for himself as a technologically curious master director. Undeterred by a string of flops in recent years, Zemeckis' latest movie is a huge swing for the fences. It's called Here, and it serves as a reunion of the Forrest Gump creative team. It's directed by Zemeckis, stars Tom Hanks and Robin Wright, and it's co-written by Eric Roth for good measure. Here tells the story of one little space of the Earth over the course of millennia, where the camera doesn't move. One angle for basically the whole runtime. In the opening scenes, the audience watches as dinosaurs roam. Then a meteor strikes and an ice age takes hold, before eventually natives begin to settle on the land. Even later, a house is built, and that one camera angle is conveniently a perfect shot of the living room, where everything of significance seems to happen. The movie follows a story of that house's inhabitants, a few families over the course of decades. Its primary focus is on one specific family, which includes Hanks and Wright, and they live there the longest. Audiences then watch as trials, tribulations, and great triumphs occur, and through it all, the camera stays fixed. In execution, Here is a singular cinematic experiment from one of cinema's greatest experimenters. Is it cheesy and sentimental? Yes. Does every character and plot decision make sense? Not really. Does it work overall? I think yes. And if nothing else, Here is worth seeing just for how unique and interesting the whole thing is. I'm Evan Rook.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Mommy, wanna play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks Vapors.
Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some flurries and light snow across the area for today. Any kind of accumulation looks rather light. Partly sunny skies, highs in the lower 20s. Northwest winds 5 to 15. Tonight, flurries and light snow, lows in the mid-teens. Right now, it's 10.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vastabetancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, the condition that alters your visual reality.
You can imagine that there are probably people who have developmental prosopometamorphopsia and have stable distortions, and they just think that's how faces look.
But first, how healthcare architecture has evolved over time.
We used to be in an age where the patient experience was a priority, and then there was sort of a shift to a staff, and now we're kind of in this awesome age where everything is a priority.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Roll Charmin Ultra Strong when you drop in the beat. It cleans way less effort on your seat. Yeah. Roll it. Drop it, yeah, roll it, drop it.
Okay.
Charmin flows extra strong from the rope. Get your butt hella clean while you're sitting on the bowl, yeah. It's all you need for that bathroom groove. Get you in and out without nothing to prove.
Charmin Ultra Strong cleans better so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Many of us have walked through the halls of a hospital, sat in waiting rooms, or even been the patient lying on the bed. And though we're often too preoccupied to analyze the space around us, we still reap the benefits. Each room, office, and hallway has been meticulously designed to provide the best experience, all while going unnoticed by the very people it serves.
Healthcare is a consumer industry. There are so many different places that you can go to get your medical care. And you want to choose the place that feels right for you and the place that feels like it's going to give you both the best results, but both the best experience.
That's Jody Feldheim, a principal architect of health planning at HDR Architecture. She's spent nearly two decades designing healthcare buildings and says one of the biggest changes to medical architecture is the focus on integrating nature into these spaces.
The way that we used to design inpatient spaces would be, you know, sort of no windows, no access to natural light, anything like that. And so we've started figuring out that nature is really helpful in healing. So daylight, all those kind of things really became very significant starting then, right? And sort of evolving over time.
That research first came out in the 1980s and has continued to be a cornerstone of medical design. But while that's lasted the test of time, nearly everything else seems to be evolving. For example, Feldheim says hospital rooms are getting bigger to account for innovative technology in both patient spaces and operating rooms.
Operating rooms are much bigger because there's lots of equipment in there that didn't used to exist and lots of specialized equipment. Another way that we've changed the way we design over the last couple of years is that there's a lot more things that are brought to the patient bedside. So, you know, when you used to be in a hospital, you would sort of be in your room and they would take you somewhere for your surgery and they would take you somewhere else for your imaging and then they would take you somewhere else maybe to see another doctor. And everything is a lot more patient-centered right now. So there are more things coming to you at the bedside or in the exam room. So we have to make sure we have space for all of that to happen that's sort of right around you as the patient.
And though patients are often surrounded with the hustle and bustle of healthcare, recent designs have taken a note from Disney to strategically hide the behind-the-scenes magic.
When you're at Disney World, you never see the people picking up the trash. You know, you just see sort of the fun stuff, right? And the onstage stuff. So in healthcare, we've really been trying to focus on that. You used to be in a hospital where you'd be in the same hallway if you were a patient as the guy who's dumping the trash, right? Or maybe there's somebody being wheeled around that is not looking so great, that is in a stretcher, and it's in the same place like where you're going to go to the cafeteria to get something to eat. So we've sort of done this thing now where we've sort of separated the circulation where there's sort of that public area where patients and families kind of are free to roam. And then there's sort of that backstage behind the house area where all the kind of nuts and bolts are happening.
Like delivering medication and supplies, it also helps cut down on the hallway traffic. By creating this separation, the staff is able to relax and have conversations without any fear of being overheard. In the past, the needs of the staff began and ended with efficiency, but now healthcare designs are starting to serve as a morale boost and mental health aid.
We used to be in an age where the patient experience was a priority, and then there was sort of a shift to a staff, and now we're kind of in this awesome age where everything is a priority.
Between the long hours and emotional toll of caring for patients, the healthcare field is both mentally and physically tough. Feldheim says many designs are now focusing on providing resources for the staff that ease feelings of burnout.
Let's say that you had a really hard day and you had a really hard patient and they are not doing well. That weighs on you as a staff member. You can't just kind of go about your day. Maybe you need a place to take a breather for a minute. So we've started creating these little rooms that we have started kind of putting in prime real estate, which we never used to do. You know, it's along a nice wall with a nice window and a great view of the city. And there's some things in that, you know, maybe there's a nice recliner, or we just did some that are really cool that have like little yoga mats and they have a little sound system in there. So you can just kind of like stretch out and take a minute.
There used to be staff lounges strategically placed throughout the hospital, but Feldheim says that now they're designing entire floors to build a comfortable space for their healthcare workers.
There's a staff-only zone that you can go to that you're not going to run into patients or families, and they're not going to stop and ask you questions. They'll just give you your time to kind of have some time. All kinds of amenities that allow the caregivers to kind of have their own couple of minutes in between patients and have a really nice amenity.
However, focusing on both the patients and staff can create some challenges when the two compete for space. It's a delicate puzzle Feldheim's constantly working to piece together. But she says there's a lot of design choices that can be incorporated without taking up extra space.
It's more about the experience of, you know, what does it feel like to be in the space? And is there intuitive wayfinding? And is there nice art? And is there biophilia and access to nature? You know, so those are things that don't take up space. So we can kind of incorporate those really well, or, you know, nice seating areas in your infusion rooms to make you more comfortable.
Once Feldheim's finished designing a space and the building is up and running, she goes back to see if all the plans are working how she thought they would. And with so many unknowns in the medical space, each survey is a learning experience.
It is really great as a continuous learning process to find out, okay, we thought that it'd be great to have all of these giant windows, but it turns out they just close the blinds the whole time because those windows are looking out at another building over there. So you're not getting the benefits of that access to nature because you can never see out the window. We don't do private offices anymore, which was a big problem for a lot of doctors because they're very old school and they're very used to having their own space. So that was a big mindset shift for a lot of people. And some clinicians really hated it. You know, they really loved being in their own space. Some people really embraced it, but I think where we've struggled to implement it has been in places where we always say, out of designing a project, let's think about how many, we call it a butts in seats exercise. You know, how many people do we need to make sure this space is big enough for? And it is never implemented that way. You know, if we decide to create a team room that's big enough for 10 people, we will find out anecdotally later that there are 15 people that are jammed in there. And so everybody is uncomfortable. It's too loud. Nobody has enough space to work. And so like, that's usually kind of the thing that we hear is that we had all these great ideas, but the way it was implemented was that, oh, we forgot about these people, or we have to add this or squeeze in this function.
This type of feedback is especially important when designing cancer centers.
A cancer patient has a lot of different sensitivities compared to somebody who was just going in for a family medicine appointment. You're maybe more sensitive to smell. You're maybe more sensitive to temperature or light. We design a lot thinking about those sort of sensitivities. So not putting in cafes, for example, in our cancer centers, because we want to make sure that you're not smelling things that you're not wanting to, because that's really hard to contain, you know. Or in our infusion spaces, we like to do a lot of items that a patient can control. So if you're there for 6 hours, you want to feel like you have the opportunity to do something about the space that you're in. So can you adjust the lighting in your room? Can you adjust the temperature? Can you open and close the blinds depending on what you want to see? You know, if it's an open bay situation, you know, is it something that I can open and close, you know, the door or the curtain or whatever to have privacy or opportunity to talk to other people, depending on how I'm feeling that day.
Feldheim will often interview cancer patients before the design is finalized to make sure that she's addressing the actual needs of the people who will be using the space day in and day out.
I just did one that was really interesting, and just listening to them kind of talk about, you know, these are the things that they specifically reacted to while they were on their journey. Obviously, the clinical care is top notch and they're very excited about that, but they'll notice that there weren't enough bathrooms. And so it was really hard to get around when you need to. So those kind of things we think about, and we get a really good feedback from people who've been through it.
And even with all of this feedback, there will always be improvements to make. Healthcare is a rapidly evolving field that's always implementing new technology. For example, 20 years ago, architects weren't accounting for robots being the ones to move through the halls of their buildings. But that's another component Feldheim needs to think of now in her own designs.
So we have all kinds of robots now. And part of them, the idea behind it is about making sure that our healthcare teams are at being used at the top of their license, right? At their highest and best use. So it is not the nurse's best use to be moving medications from one place to another. Let's let the robot do it. So we have, there's kind of these cool small little robots, and you can kind of put meds in there from the pharmacy and then lock it and then send it on up to, you know, somebody in room 217. Kind of those sort of things are really cool as far as things that we've seen that make a big difference in design from a technology standpoint. The thing that we do the best in a healthcare design strategy is that making things as flexible and changeable for the future is sort of the way we like to do it.
Since the entire building process takes such a long time, it may be 8 years before patients are let in, which means that customizing spaces specifically for one piece of technology would make that room out of date as soon as the hospital opens for the first time.
There's going to be a new machine that does the surgery that you haven't even dreamed of. And so making sure that we design spaces that can allow for that and allow for that adaptability and change is really kind of, I think that's kind of the way that we think the most about what's next and how to future-proof, which is a terrible term, but we use it all the time because there's no such thing as future-proof.
But as for Feldheim's best guess at what the next big change to healthcare design will be, she thinks we're moving towards more artificial intelligence integrations.
Everything that I have gone to this year, every lecture, every webinar, has all brought up AI and what that looks and feels like and how that is going to be impacting where we are. You know, I know my personal physician, they have AI in the exam rooms. And so they are sort of listening to you as you talk to the physician and is helping the physician chart so that they can be more focused on the conversation with you and let the AI kind of do the typing. So that is kind of more of a, it helps kind of with your personal experience a little bit better. You know, we shifted a lot of thinking about design because of the pandemic a couple of years ago. And so now we're sort of out of that phase and we're out of thinking about what that feels like and more back into this experience and kind of what's next phase.
You can find more information about Jody Feldheim and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, what would you do if your loved one's face started melting right before your eyes? When Radio Health Journal returns.
Are you having the holiday horrors trying to figure out the perfect gift for everyone on your list? So many people, so few ideas. It's terrifying. But guess what? I have the perfect gift you can give everyone. hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. That's right, hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. They're the perfect gift for a mother, for a father, grandma, grandpa, for the kids, for a friend, for a coworker, and for your boss who you're hoping gives you that big holiday bonus. For everybody. Because Skechers Slip-ins don't cost a ton of money. They last a long time, and people will appreciate them forever. Every time they slip your gift on, they will smile. And why are they smiling? Because with Skechers Slip-ins, they'll never have to touch their shoes again. Just step into them and they're on. With no bending down, no retying the laces, and you are good to go. And they're so easy to give. No more wandering the store, no more scrolling online wondering what to get people. Give the newest thing, the most convenient change in footwear that's ever been. Hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. Find Skechers Slip-ins for the holidays at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Have you ever seen eyes on the back of a dog's head? Or a person's mouth falling off their face? If so, you probably wouldn't tell anyone, fearing they may think you've gone crazy. However, Brad Duchesne says that despite popular beliefs, these types of hallucinations are not a sign of mental illness.
A lot of the people we hear from, their first thought is, this is a sign I'm going crazy, and I'm not going to tell people about this. There was one person that we heard from. I actually still haven't spoken with him, but I spoke with his partner, and they'd been together for 20 years, and she had only just realized that he was having daily face distortions because he didn't want to share that with her because he was afraid of what she might think if he told her that.
Duchesne is a professor in psychological and brain sciences at Dartmouth College. His research center attracts many people who are worried that they've gone off the deep end, but Duchesne assures them they're not psychotic. In fact, the hallucinations aren't a product of neurosis, but rather an issue with their sight. Prosopometamorphopsia, or PMO, is a rare condition that affects the visual cortex of the brain.
It's a condition in which people have distortions that affect their face perception. So they might see faces that change in shape or color or texture. Features might move around. And often they see active change as they look at a face. So the mouth might droop as they're looking at the face.
The effects of PMO vary from person to person. Some people see distorted faces, while others may even get hallucinations from time to time.
There are some people who see very consistent distortions on every face they encounter. So, you know, if they were to see the same person, they're going to see a similar distortion in that person's face. But on those cases that have a wide variety of distortions, we haven't seen consistent distortions for particular identities.
PMO can often be mistaken for prosopagnosia, also known as face blindness, which is a different disorder that affects maybe 1-2% of the population. That's a condition where people can't recognize faces, and in severe cases, not even their loved ones. Radio Health Journal has reported on face blindness in the past, but Duchesne thinks PMO is even more rare. Researchers don't know for sure how long it's been around, but Duchesne suspects that's because people have been afraid to tell anyone about their experiences. The first report was documented in 1904. Since then, only 80 to 100 known cases have been recorded.
Francis Bacon, who some people think is one of the most important artists of the 20th century, he painted lots and lots of distorted faces. And there are interviews with him where he talks about, he's like, I'm just trying to paint what I see. So in fact, there was an article in Frontiers in Neuroscience or Neurology that speculated that Bacon had PMO. But we're realizing that there are a lot of people out there who see distortions when they look at faces. And that's because there's been media attention about some of the work that we've done. And as a result of that, we're approaching 200 people over the last few years. I suspect we're still talking in the U.S. I mean, if we've heard from 100 Americans, there must be tens of thousands of people with face distortions.
Researchers don't understand exactly what causes PMO, but they think it may be due to a disruption in the visual cortex part of the brain.
In the back of your brain is dedicated to processing visual information. And within that part of the brain dedicated to processing visual information, there are what we call face selective areas, little, say, blueberry-sized clusters of neurons that are specialized for processing faces. And these areas are connected up with one another. And we don't have a good understanding about what causes PMO, but we see sometimes, say, when the connections between two different face areas are disrupted, that connection problem can cause PMO. presumably sometimes damage to particular areas can cause PMO, but I'm less confident about that. That might be more likely to result in prosopagnosia.
Duchenne says that PMO can sometimes be brought on by a neurological event, but in most cases, patients can't pinpoint a specific incident, such as a concussion or stroke, that would have led to its onset.
Something went wrong, obviously, but it's not clear to most of the people who we hear from what that might be. You know, they might say, well, I did have a concussion 6 months before the distortion started, so that might be it, but it's, you know, you just don't know.
Others with PMO have had the condition all their lives, and the distortions never change. For example, all faces may appear to be stretched backwards, like when you place your palms on both cheeks and temples and pull the skin back. These are called stable distortions. To these people, that's just how all faces look. They have no idea it's not what everyone else is seeing. Duchenne and his team will publish a paper in the coming months about a teenage boy nicknamed VS who has had PMO all his life.
VS's distortions are stable. He looks at a face, it just looks stretched back. There's no change as he looks at it. So you can imagine that there are probably people who have developmental prosopometamorphopsia and have stable distortions, and they just think that's how faces look. He deals with it very well. He's really mature for his age and just kind of rolls with it. But, you know, it has to be extremely challenging. And one is sort of an interesting point to make, too, about the developmental variant. The great majority of the people we hear from, they had normal face perception. And then one day they started seeing distorted faces. But we've heard from a small number of people who appear to have had it their entire lives, like this boy I mentioned, and a few others. And in a number of these individuals, we see the distortions run in their families.
Researchers hope that by studying PMO, they'll better understand the typical human brain and be able to reduce the distortions these people have.
One thing that we found that helps some people, not all, but some, is if they look through color filters, the distortions are reduced. Others, and those same people, I should say, if they look through a different color filter, they're amplified. So two of the people we work with, if they look through a green filter, their distortions are weaker. If they look through a red filter, their distortions are boosted. And then there's another person who shows the opposite pattern. And then some people are not affected by color. So we had a person visit from Texas a few weeks ago, and she just has no color effects.
Duchenne likens PMO face distortions to drug-induced hallucinations. In fact, he hopes to someday be able to compare the brain activity of someone who has PMO to someone hallucinating on psilocybin.
We'd like to do even just simple perceptual studies, because there are a lot of studies involving hallucinogens right now for clinical purposes. And while the people are just sitting around in the midst of the study, we wondered if we could show them some faces. We haven't had that opportunity yet, but we've talked to one guy who's involved in those sorts of studies. So it's something we'd like to pursue.
Duchenne would love to hear from more people who may have prosopometamorphopsia. If you think you have PMO or would like more information about the disorder, you can contact him by visiting our website at radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer this week is Polly Hansen. Our lead producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Again, Scent Bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard. His ear said, "Maraca, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent Maraca smell amazing." Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the...
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your...
windshield wipers. eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Mommy, want to play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Medical notes this week. Liver damage can be deadly, but you may be able to reverse it. Stress and aging can cause severe scarring, disease, and even organ failure. Just simply getting older causes some liver cells to die off. Thankfully, research in the journal Nature Aging demonstrates that this damage is partially reversible. An experimental treatment can block the cell death from occurring, keeping the liver healthy for longer. Do you have a higher risk of cancer? Adding more fats into your diet may help. New research in the International Journal of Cancer reveals that omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids are linked to a lower risk of developing various types of cancers. These healthy fats can be found in nuts and fish, but increasing your omega-3 consumption may not be good for everyone. The high levels may also be associated with a greater risk of prostate cancer, so consult a health professional before making any changes to your diet. You may want to skip your next caffeine fix. Energy drinks have become a coffee substitute for many people, but this strategy isn't the best option for your health. Regular consumption can cause high blood pressure, irregular heartbeats, and issues with sleep. The high sugar content in many energy drinks also contributes to weight gain and higher chances of developing cardiovascular issues later in life. And finally, how much of the world can newborn babies understand? By measuring the brain activity of infants, scientists have found new evidence for the awareness of newborns. The article, published in the journal Neuron, shows that consciousness may develop in babies earlier than we thought. In fact, there's an ongoing debate on whether they're able to have this awareness in the womb as well. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayon Vosta-Betancourt.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah. And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some flurries and light snow across the area for today. Any kind of accumulation looks rather light. Partly sunny skies, highs in the lower 20s, northwest winds 5 to 15. Tonight, flurries and light snow, lows in the mid-teens. Right now, it's 10.
Ooh, baby, do you know what that? They say in heaven.
like a long walk through the woods on a sunny day. This is Trail Mix 103.1. Listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Though we both lie close together,